Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. It's good to be with you as always. Thank you for hanging around with me today. And if you just got here, welcome aboard. Tim Berry is our guest. He's the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, the makers of the best business planning software in the world. He is, in fact, the world's business planning expert. He's our good friend. Tim, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Very happy to be with you.
It's good to have you back, Grandpa.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
For that too.
I got to say that on the air, folks. Tim is a brand new grandfather for the first time, and now he's like me. Tim, I used to say that I used to just be obnoxious. Now I'm an obnoxious grandfather. So you get to fit into that category too. And it's one of the things in life where being obnoxious about something is okay. It's actually kind of cute, they tell me.
Well, thank you. I'll do my best at it.
I think you're going to actually excel at this myself, Tim, having talked to you about this.
Try to do your best at everything, including that, huh?
let's talk about business planning, but overlaying it, your business plan with your strategic plan. And what I want you to do is tell us what's the difference. What's the difference between a business plan and a strategic plan?
Start with mythology when we're talking about that, because we deal with mythology in several elements of the business plan. Start with people don't seem to think a business plan for small business is strategic necessarily, do they? Or is that just me?
Well, I'm not sure that they think about it one way or the other. I know you think about it because that's your business, but maybe what we need to do is just help them to get it into their minds, period.
I get the impression that people think strategy, oh, yeah, that's for big companies. That's mm-hmm. for 100,000 employees. That's for large strategic planning sessions and things like that. And I don't. I think small businesses are exercising strategy. The one-person business is really developing strategy, whether that person knows it or not. And the small business, whether they realize it or not, not doing anything strategic is also a strategy, probably not a very good one. But I think people living in their businesses have an opportunity by thinking strategically to aim their growth, to guide their growth, to put a map on their growth and their changes so that over time they achieve objectives and become more of what they want to become instead of reacting to what happens. That's what I think strategy is for a small business.
Right. But how? But do we separate that from a business plan, or is that's part of the business plan, isn't it?
I think it should be.
Yeah.
And I think it should be over a long term. One of the four most important principles of strategy that I've seen, you know, you can get strategy out of the Harvard Business Review and the graduate schools and so on, but I've been working long enough in this that I talk about what I've seen work as strategy. And principle number one that I've just seen over a lot of years is that if it isn't applied over a long term, over 2, 3, 4 years, then it really doesn't count. Then it's not strategy. It's something else. And that's hard to do for a small business that, okay, this year we're focusing on generating more leads, and that's mm-hmm. going to be our focus. Mm-hmm. And then next year we're focusing on closing more, and the following year it's something else. There has to be a consistent path underneath a business plan over 3 or 4 years for it to really be strategic. And
well,
really
maybe it's in the way we define strategy then. Maybe our prospecting this year is not really the overarching strategy that you're talking about. In other words, maybe it's just in the way we define it.
If we're reacting, let's be honest, small business survives and prospers on the basis of hard work more than strategy. So if we're reacting to things and we're returning calls and we're doing our job, yeah, we're going to be better off. And that can be a good business plan. But the opportunity to be strategic, try this on. A strange thing, I think, that's still strange to me, that I'm pretty sure I've seen over 30-some years now, which is that...
Tim, hold that thought. Let me stop you. I apologize, but I need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to let Tim pick up on that. I think he's got four things that he's had on his mind that he can identify that will help you to clear some of the strategy versus business plan up. And that's coming up right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Tim Berry, with Palo Alto Software.
It's getting near dark. When lights close the tire, I'll soon be with you, my love.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Alan Friedman is going to be with us. He's one of our top technology experts, and he's going to have some good things to tell us about what's going on in the world of technology these days. Then after that, Ken Dalecki is going to sit in for Joan Pryde, who's on vacation this week, as we talk about what Kiplinger has to say about the most recent Kiplinger letter and what's going on out there in the world. We're visiting with our good friend Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software. And Tim, I interrupted you. You were about to give us some really important stuff on strategy.
Something that fascinates me, Jim, through the years, is that it is better to have mediocre strategy consistently applied than to have a series of brilliant strategies that contradict each other over a short term. That surprises me, because people think brilliant is important, but I've seen it. I'm sure of it. I don't have documented research, but in my experience, it's better to have a mediocre strategy consistently applied for several years than to have series of brilliant strategies.
So what you're saying is that consistency over time is more important than brilliance. And that's a very interesting statement for you to make.
And it takes a lot of discipline, if that's true, to not change the strategy. And I have worked through the years with some companies, one in particular full of brilliant young managers who developed new brilliant strategies every 6 months, and half of them contradicted the previous, and they never really gave it time to sit. There was never time for strategies to grow and be harvested, because they were changing so quickly.
These are the people, though, who thought of themselves only as entrepreneurs and not as managers. The question I pose it in my book, and I pose it to people as often as I can whenever it comes up, and that is, sure, you're an entrepreneur. Congratulations. Good for you. But now, can you manage what you've created?
And sometimes that simply takes patience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that takes the discipline of not changing things, because it takes a while to watch the fruits of your labor develop. I've never been a farmer. But I've seen in business fields that were sown and plowed for a while and then left, and somebody else comes in and harvests.
Mm-hmm.
For example, desktop publishing, for those of us who were around in the 80s, was completely generated, marketed, invented by Apple Computer, and they got bored with it and left it so that the Windows systems took it over when people were really interested in it.
Right.
So let's talk about that's principle number one. You're ready for number two?
Mm-hmm.
Strategy is focusing on the main priorities. Seems simple, right? It seems obvious. But still, that's part of strategy that ought to be in every business plan. What's most important? That's where I put my resources. That's where I put my focus. And then as I manage the year, I have my plan, which is strategic, to remind me that we've established priorities based on long-term objectives. We want to go somewhere. We have a direction, and that's how we set our priorities, and then we have to stick to them.
Well, and those are the things that you etch in the, you know, you scratch those out in the wall, in the paint in the wall, so to speak, of your meeting room, of your conference room, or wherever you get together with yourself or with your group or your team, so that whenever you have your planning meetings, whenever you have your status meetings, you're checking on how things went today or this week or this month. You know, you always go back and say, okay, how does all this reconcile? Or if somebody has a suggestion, how does this reconcile with that, those things that we etched into the wall over there?
Exactly. It becomes a filter or a gatekeeper or a method. How do we judge what are we going to do next? The new phone call comes, new incidents, new opportunities. How do we evaluate this? What system do we use? You know, if we're talking about ethics, then we all have our own systems to determine good and bad. If we're talking about business, is it just what appeals to us that morning? Is it what appeals to the person who took the call? Or do we turn to, these are our priorities that are built on the basis of our long-term strategy, and we turn to that and say, okay, does this move us in the direction that we said we wanted to go? Does this fit with our priorities well, or is this going off in a different direction?
Mm-hmm. All right. What's number three?
That's number two. Number three is that your strategy must be unique to your situation. I like to imagine, or I like to suggest that you imagine yourself sitting at the driver's seat in an automobile, and you close your eyes and you think about what knobs you have to turn. You have a steering wheel, you have a brake, you have an accelerator, you might have a clutch and gears, you probably have a radio air conditioner, but you have a finite number of things that you really can do. You mm-hmm. don't have a knob that makes you go straight up. You don't have a knob that makes you go down into the ground, and you don't have a knob that goes straight sideways. Business is like that, too, and that's a metaphor for how strategy must really obey completely the context that your particular company is in. What knobs do you have to turn?
So what you're saying is don't develop a strategy that requires you to go sideways if you don't have the ability to go sideways.
If you don't have the resources to do it, do something else.
If your strategy requires you to go 100 miles an hour, but you don't have the fuel or the motor to make you go 100 miles an hour, then you're fooling yourself, and I think that's what you're saying. And I want you to pick up on that right after these messages, and then we're going to get into the fourth idea, the fourth point that Tim has for creating your strategic plan. That's coming up after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Tim Berry with Palo Alto Software. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tim Berry is our guest. He's the founder and the president of Palo Alto Software. And folks, I'd like to encourage you to go to his website. I know he won't tell you paloalto.com, but I will. But also, the one he's going to mention is bplans.com, because that's the place where you can go and see 5 or 6 dozen different kinds of business plans. These are real business plans. They're the ones that got the money. And if you're having a little trouble figuring out how to get your business plan off the ground, go look at somebody else's and check it out there. And you got a lot of other capability there at bplans.com too, don't you, Tim?
Yes, the questions and answers. We've developed a whole series of articles. There, a lot of what I've been doing lately is writing articles for bplans. Some tools. There's a new break-even tool that's kind of cool on the front page today. Other resources.
Check it out.
It's a very big site with a lot of resources.
And when you like what you see there, and I know you will, you just click over and you can check out their software, which is Business Plan Pro 2002. Is that right now?
2004 now.
2004. That's right. Business Plan Pro. The new one's 2004. I should have said. Okay, let's get back into our strategic discussion, and you got a fourth point there.
The fourth principle, which is, I think, perhaps the most important in small business, and here's where it's different from the larger businesses with more resources, and to understand the fourth principle, you have to do something for me, because it's radio, so I can't show you, but you got to take a bucket, fill it up to the absolute brim with water and sit it on top of a conference table. And then you get a brick. You walk a brick over this bucket full of water, and you drop the brick in the water, and you watch what happens. And, of course, the water spills all over the conference table, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's displacement. And I've seen over and over again that where small businesses are most likely to trip up in their strategy is not understanding displacement, meaning that you can't do everything. There isn't room in a limited business to do everything that ought to be done. You can't address every opportunity. You have to say no and understand that what you do displaces the other things that you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger is that we get a third or a halfway towards a lot of different projects, and we don't have the discipline to finish and deliver and sit back and say, well, actually, we can't do this because we're doing that and we're all used up and there aren't that many of us and we can't go out and hire a million more.
Well, it goes back to what you said earlier about a mediocre plan consistently developed and executed is better than four or five genius plans that are inconsistently executed.
Yes.
It's the same. I mean, that's exactly what you, sounds to me like that's what you're talking about.
Because change happens slowly,
mm-hmm.
and it takes time, and we get impatient. And that's why this displacement thing has to be the most misunderstood, because it takes, there again, that word I've been using, discipline, to be able to understand that we can't do everything, so we have to do the right things.
But, Tim, the only thing that's changed in the world in the last 100 years has been the velocity of change. And as you know, it's really increased in the last 5 or 6 years. And so we're all bombarded with all this, the velocity of change is increasing so much, and it sort of takes our breath away, and it frightens us, and it makes us think that we got to be doing something different. How do we deal with that? How do we batten down the hatches and have that kind of discipline?
Interesting question, because we all feel it, and yet the velocity of the human brain hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
So, and the velocity of groups working together to get something done, there may just be more of them out there, and that's why it feels like things are changing faster. But in each group, we're charged with getting the right things done, and it still takes management and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes planning, and it takes sticking to the plan, which is so much harder than writing the plan, is sticking to the plan after it's written.
We really have to know what our organization can do well and what we want it to do and stick with that. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that all small business owners have today. And, Tim, I want to thank you for helping us sort some of this out today. You've done a good job, and we appreciate it very much, as always.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here with you, Jim.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen. You know we can't do without him. He's an original member of the Brain Trust, and he'll be back real soon. Thanks, Tim. See you later. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest small business country in the world.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.